Hi, this is Eric Casto with Global Reach Ministries and Four Smiles Productions. I want to thank you for taking time to tune into this Oasis podcast. We are in a series called Deep Calls to Deep, or The Deeper Things of God. And if you haven't heard the first two episodes, you definitely want to go back. You want to listen to them because there's a foundation that we're laying, and then we're just kind of taking a step at a time. Now, in our last episode, we were talking about that river of God, that presence of the Lord that comes with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that outward thrust from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth, that the power of the Holy Spirit, the river of God, and those streams that break out and they settle in and upon us. Now, in the book of Matthew, I want you to see something here. I'm not going to take a lot of time on this, but in the book of Matthew, chapter 25, it's kind of an end time parable, but there's a reason I want to read this. It says this: "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins who took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps." Now, you can read the rest of that later. They were all virgins. They were all waiting. They all had lamps. What makes the difference between a wise virgin and a foolish virgin is substance. What is on the inside? And that is why we're getting into this, the dwelling places of God, this place of inner communion with the Lord. Let's just turn over to the book of John, chapter 14. Here's a scripture that a lot of times in my life, maybe the same with you, maybe not, but we read over these things so quickly. In verse 20, John 14, verse 20. Now, John 14, verse 1. Now, this is powerful. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." Now, I did a whole series on the rapture of the church, the return of the Lord. Are you ready? You should go back and listen to that. I also did a big series on heaven. You need to listen to that too. There's a lot of stuff that just, it will get you bubbling. But here he's talking about the New Jerusalem that's going to come down out of heaven onto a new earth. And it's made up of us, but it's also a physical city as well. And it's full of the glory of God. It has the glory of God. The Lord himself is right there in the midst. And I guess what I'm trying to maybe touch into here is getting revelation of Jesus in our midst. And right now, the resurrected Word of the living God, Jesus, the Son of God, at the right hand of the Father for us, his power, his majesty, his glory. And because of that, he holds all things together. And he is working in us. And so the reason I wanted to talk about these virgins that we just read in Matthew 25 is the substance of relationship on the inside of us. Now I just read about, John 14, 1, 2, 3. But now let's go to verse 20. "At that day you shall know that I'm in my Father, and you in me, and I in you." I tell you what, I'm not sure you can get a more powerful piece of scripture It's all powerful. But I mean, where Jesus says, I'm in the Father, I'm in you, you are in me. And, you know, Colossians chapter 3, another one of these scriptures where it just will keep you up all night thinking about it. If you are risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on the things of the earth. Now listen, you're dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God. You are no longer your own. You are bought with a price, and you are hidden. You are in Christ. You are in God. And Christ is in you. And as you get to meditating on the river, his presence in me, the streams, the full of water river of God, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. I don't know. I might have to push pause and start dancing here in a second. So this powerful communion place that we're in with the Lord. Now, in this episode, kind of just taking a step, you know, one step at a time here, the deeper things of God that God has prepared for us, how do we begin to walk in these things? You wait on the Lord. He gives to you in order to use. Now, in the book of Jude, most people don't read the book of Jude, but the book of Jude has some really wonderful stuff. It's only one chapter, but it's powerful. In verse 20, so Jude 1, verse 20. But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God. There's a lot more to it, but it says this. You build yourself up, you're edifying, you're strengthening, and you're comforting yourself. How? By what? In your holy, most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. So Paul is giving us a key that when we're baptized and we receive our place in that river of the power of God, that anointing, that baptism. We're not talking about a spirit of sonship where you're born again and the Holy Spirit makes you brand new. No, we're not talking about that. Remember Jesus. He was the Son of God when he was baptized. And so after he was baptized, then the Holy Spirit came in power upon him and gave him his ministry. Now, it's the same with us. We're born again by faith in who Jesus Christ is, but there is a baptism of the Holy Spirit that we, by faith, we ask, we receive it, and there are tongues, prayer tongues. And that's what he says, praying in the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Ghost. Now, when you get over to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. There, I tell you, this chapter is one of those chapters where, oh, there's so much in it. But there's something that he says here in 1 Corinthians. And he says this. He says, I thank my God that I pray in tongues, I speak in tongues more than you all. Now, I'm not going to get into this chapter. You're going to have to go and read it. But when it comes to this wonderful ability to pray and to speak in other tongues, remember, God is the God who gives language. The first reason he gives you language is so you can talk to him and he can talk to you. He created your voice to sing to him, to pray to him, to ask him questions, to relate to him. But in we also have a voice to relate to each other. And men, especially when you come home and you don't spend time talking to your wife after you get home, she wants to hear your voice. It's a wonderful thing to talk, to speak. And, of course, we use our voices in many ways. When we're excited, we yell, you know, a touchdown, yay, a soccer goal, woo. And or we cry with our voice. So our voice is a gift from God, and he's the one who gives language. And there's a natural language, a mother tongue language, but also when you get born again, baptized in the Holy Ghost, you get a mother tongue language. It's a heavenly language, and it's empowered by the Holy Spirit. And so when you go to 1 Corinthians, you know, chapter 12, it says, now concerning spiritual gifts, I don't want you to be ignorant. And so the first thing you have to understand, there's a lot of ignorance when it comes to the things of the Holy Spirit. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he begins to unveil these wonderful truths about the Holy Spirit. And then by the time he gets to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he deals a whole lot with tongues and with prophecy. Now, in between these two chapters is chapter 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where he stresses the love of God. You know, Paul was an apostle of love. You know, we don't think of him that way, do we? We think of John as the apostle of love. But you know what? Paul really was touched by the Lord, and he was being changed by the Lord's love. And he talks a lot about the love of God. In fact, to understand love, you need to read what John says, but you also have to read what Paul says. Those two apostles have such revelation on love. Let me tell you about Paul. He was a firebrand. He was strong. But you know, when you see he gets older, his love and his compassion for the church, not his ministry, not his TV program. He loved the church. He would give himself for the church. He was a man that said, you know, I would like to go to heaven, but you know what? I'll stay a little longer because it helps you. Such love he had. Now, as ministers, I'll have to tell you, a lot of times the temptation is grow old and keep developing your ministry, but you don't see a depth of love for the church. And I really believe the more I read and fellowship with the Lord, the more you mature, the less you think about your ministry, and the more you think about the church. Will the church continue? Will the church be strengthened? How do we strengthen the body of Christ? How's it going to overcome? I'm willing to stay longer if it helps the church. And so now, let's get back to the topic at hand. I was digressing there. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he says, follow love. Whew, right there again, follow love. He's an apostle of love, I tell you. But desire the spiritual gifts. Now, this whole chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he begins to go in and out of things that concern a gift of the Holy Spirit called tongues, which requires another operation called the interpretation of tongues. Those are gifts, and those are ministries that flow out like a river out towards men. But then he also talks about prayer tongues, communion tongues with the Lord. Very different. It is a prayer language, a talking up to God. And so when Paul says, I thank God, I pray in tongues, I speak in tongues more than all of you, he's talking about an act of his own will to use the wonderful language that comes with a baptism into the Holy Spirit. Now you understand, in Acts 19, he said to the the 12 people in Ephesus. He said, have you received the Holy Spirit? He wasn't talking about sonship. He was talking about the baptism that has an empowerment and a grace to strengthen on a different level. And he prayed for them, and the Lord baptized them. And what did they do? They started speaking in tongues. They received their mother tongue from heaven, and then they began to also to prophesy. So there is a difference in the operation of this gift of the Holy Spirit, a charisma gift called tongues, versus your praying in tongues. Now, to Paul, tongues were tongues, whether it was the Holy Spirit flowing out speaking to men, or whether it's the human spirit full of the Holy Spirit speaking up to God. To him, it was tongues. But there's a differentiation. Let me kind of explain it this way. When you go to your sink, the sink, you have a cold water and a hot water. They have different functions. And you can turn the cold on, but then you can turn the cold off and turn the hot on. It's still water. It comes from the same source, but it's different. It has heat. And it's controlled by knobs. Now, this is what I want to say. Your human spirit has the ability to bubble upwards like a spring springing up into eternal life, going up to God. There's a communion and a bubbling up towards him. With that comes that wonderful language of prayer. But that can change because of the Holy Spirit in us as children of the living God, that all of a sudden, instead of bubbling up, speaking to God, praying to God, all of a sudden a message can come out flowing towards men in a tongue. And then once that tongue is released, then there comes an interpretation to that. And those are charisma gifts. Those don't come by your will. They come by the Holy Spirit. Let me give you a story. Years ago, I was in Jacksonville, Florida, and it was right at the time when the Soviet Union was breaking apart and people from Russia, Ukraine were coming, moving to America. And Jacksonville, Florida is a big recipient of Slavic people and people from the former Soviet Union. And so we were in a prayer meeting, and I knew one of the ladies, Valentina. She was there, and we were all praying in the Holy Spirit, and you just felt that communion. It's like the cold water was turned on, water of springing up, praying in the Holy Spirit. But all of a sudden, as we're praying and in communion, the power of God came on me, and all of a sudden, I felt the nozzles switch, and now there was a power, and my tongues changed language, and I began to speak, not to God, but it was the Holy Spirit flowing out of me, and I began to speak in a language I didn't know what it was, and as I got finished, everybody started praising God, Slava Bogu, Slava Bogu, and rejoicing. I had no clue what I had just said, but everybody there knew. And Valentina, she was over here on my side. She said, Eric, you know, wonderful accent. Do you know what you just said? I said, no. I mean, it felt good. I felt wonderful after saying it, as you do, you know, when you're used by the Lord. She said, you just spoke in perfect Ukrainian to this couple, this man and wife. They just arrived from the Ukraine. They're very fearful. They're not sure what's going to happen with their life. And you just spoke to them from the Lord. I know where you are. My hand is upon you, and I'm going to take care of you here. Now, you see the difference between praying in the Holy Spirit and then the gift of tongues. It shifts, and now it's a river, John chapter 7, a river flowing out of my belly, flowing out, not flowing up to God, but now flowing out to man. And there was a message, a tongue, that God Almighty, his voice amongst us was bringing edification, comfort, and sanctification and just joy and exhortation. And it was wonderful. Now, what's happening? The dwelling places of the Lord. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it says, if I speak in the tongues of man or in the tongues of angels, you know, there are tongues of angels. And now I know there are some Christians that, you know, when you talk about the supernatural things, they kind of go tilt and they don't want to acknowledge that we serve a very supernatural God. I mean, the God I serve split a Red Sea and made the ground dry, and the people of God walked across it. The God that I serve caused Elijah to raise someone from the dead, Elisha to raise someone from the dead, and caused David to kill a Goliath. I mean, when you look at how miraculous our Heavenly Father is, and He loves us so much, do you think that all of a sudden He's a boring God, that He doesn't want to show how really He is to us? Oh, come on. Christianity is very joyful. You know, I'm thinking, just several weeks back, I had a skin cancer on my head. Oh, I knew I had it taken off before, and it grew back, and I knew what it was, and all the same symptoms. But I was praying. I was believing. And week after week, it was there, and I'm praying. But I couldn't get to the doctor's office because I thought, you don't play with this stuff, right? And but I preached a sermon in England. And then I realized later that day, it was gone. In the power of God, in that service, that thing dissolved and it was gone. So when I got back from England, I went over to the dermatologist. I said, this is what happened. Can you look? She looked at my head. She said, it looks good up there. Everything is fine. I said, Lord, I it's so wonderful to serve you. It's so wonderful to walk with you. The dwelling places of the Most High God on the inside of us. Now, so Paul understood these dwelling places and that communion with the Lord. We want to be wise virgins. And I'm telling you, one way to be wise, spend time in communion, praying in the Holy Spirit, making a demand upon His presence in fellowship with Him. If you've never received the baptism of the Holy, just ask Him and say, Lord, I trust you that you're a good Father and that you'll give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. And Lord, I want this prayer language. I have a right to have it. And so right now, I'm asking you and I'm receiving it. And I'm going to obey. I'm going to open my mouth. And I believe as I open my mouth wide, you're going to fill it. And then just allow that language. It may just be one word. Just speak it. Just start letting your vocal cords go with the working of the Holy Spirit. And you'll see, oh, He's wonderful. He'll give it to you. My mother, I received it when someone laid hands and prayed for me. But my mother got on the floor and she said, God, I want this. And she said, I'm not leaving till I get it. And I tell you, she took hold of the horns of the altar and she stayed there until she started praying in tongues. And everything changed. Her students at school said, Mrs. Casto, why do you always sing? You're very happy. Well, something changed in her. She got full of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to pause here because I'm at a place where I want to show you in the next episode some things about Paul that I believe they're going to really encourage you, and you'll want to hear them. So, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for what you're doing on the inside of us, the impartations that are happening right now into our spirit. Father, let that impartation stir up the things that are there and the new things that are coming. We receive them in Jesus' name. Now listen, go to our website at www.foursmiles.com. There's a button that says give. Pray about sowing an offering into this ministry. because we're taking the gospel to a lot of nations. We're printing a lot of tracts, sending them out to people, and we need partners, people that will stand with us and say, hey, we want these dwelling places of God to go with the gospel all over the earth, and we'll thank you for it. Now listen, Jesus is coming soon. We need to be ready for him. Until next time, we love you. Jesus loves you. He's coming soon. God bless you. Bye-bye.